in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 688 now of the Ron and Don Show, and we are live at Les Schwab Studios.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, we'll tell you about smart habits that people say makes their lives better. Also, why have Americans stopped hanging out? Before we get to that, though, Ron has a story.
Yeah, I want to do a follow-up. We talked a couple episodes about the new Masters of the Air thing on Apple TV. It's a show about World War II. I, at that time, was like, hey, I tried it. I don't know if it's for me. And we went in. You can go back and listen to the episode if you want. And then after listening to you talk about it and talking about what you're doing with your son, and then our good friend Scotty actually emailed me after listening to that episode and talked about his relationship with World War II pilots and the show. I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this another try. I want to see if I can engage in this show. And so initially I thought it was a 6-episode arc, and I was like, okay, I can do 6 episodes. And so I put my phone to the side. I started to dig in and recognize, it's like, okay, these men's stories deserve to be told. I watched a couple things with Tom Hanks and his clear love, and Steven Spielberg as well, their clear love for trying to document these stories. And I think they really see this as the legacy of the sort of the final chapters of both of their lives, is to say, hey, we're now losing the greatest generation and the men and women that served in World War II. And so if you even look at Steven Spielberg and think of Schindler's List all the way into all of these things he's partnered with Tom Hanks, is saying, I want to do my part to document these stories as good as we can. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to just refresh my mind, jump in here and try to engage with these stories. And I got to say, I'm caught up now on episode 5. I didn't realize that there's more episodes because I'm like, when are the Tuskegee Airmen showing up? There's only one episode left. I was like, oh, it's not that there's, I think there's going to be, I believe there's more than 6 if I'm not wrong about this.
10 or 11.
Okay, so like the Tuskegee Airmen haven't shown up yet. I don't want to do any spoilers because many people may not have watched it.
Can you, if it's about real history, can you give a spoiler?
Well, I don't think most people realize the individual characters in the show and what happens to those individual characters. I don't want to give that away because that's how the series is built. But I will say I'm finding myself enjoying it more. It is still bothersome to me in a way of when a ship goes down, an airplane goes down, and you've become attached to the characters who are real people. Like, these were real men in the 100th, and they really had a name. That really was their nickname, and that really is the crew. And some of these stories that are agonizing situations that these very young men had to make, the decision they had to make, it's been good for me to engage in it because it's a time before cell phone technology, a time before even television was invented. And you just see the way they had to interact with the news and with like even debriefing after a mission of like, hey, when did that thing happen? And the person, I didn't take that record down. So they have like no information, no real way to track anything other than getting in a plane, taking off, and trying to accomplish these missions. I'm finally engaged. I wanted to just let you know that your discussion, Scotty's input, and some people from the Ron and Don Nation sort of changed my mind on that, to go, hey, re-engage with this. Sometimes it's hard for me to engage in World War history, and so I'm trying to do better at that. I don't know if you're caught up with all the episodes.
Oh yeah, we're caught up over here, and we know what the Tuskegee Airmen are going to do and what their contribution is going to be. And for those that don't know, The United States military during World War II is very segregated. In fact, a park where we take Charlie a lot out here, and you've heard of us talk about it, Discovery Park, used to be the old Fort Lawton. And it was very segregated out there. It was, and there's over a million men that went through there, mostly men. It was, they had one telephone, 526 buildings. Some of them are still out there now. You can read a book called On American Soil about a horrible murder that happened out there that's blamed on black soldiers that the black soldiers didn't commit. They had over 3,000 prisoners of war out there from Germany and also from Italy. And the Germans and the Italians, they wanted to come here because they were treated so much better. They were treated better than the black soldiers that were out at Fort Lawton. So that was the pecking order. You had white soldiers, then you had the white prisoners of war, and then underneath that, you would have the black soldiers. In fact, sometimes those Italian and the German soldiers could even go to town on a trolley at Inner Bay here, where the black soldiers weren't allowed to leave the base. So during World War II, African-Americans, blacks, were considered to be too dumb to drive a certain Sherman tank. They were too dumb to fly a Tiger and take down a Zero. They were too dumb to do that. That's how they were treated. And then they started running out of pilots. And so who did they turn to? They turned to the Tuskegee Airmen. And the Tuskegee Airmen, even though, and these would be the airmen that would end up escorting these big bombers, because these big bombers would go out during the day, and then the fighters would come up and take them down. Only 23% of the men that flew those bombers in the 100th came home. Only 23%. So every time your ship would go up, you would look around, and even if your ship wasn't going down, you'd look over and you see your friends and you'd see their ships going down. And they died horrible deaths. And a lot of times they couldn't get out. And if they did get out, a lot of times horrible things happened to them when they became prisoners of war. So the Tuskegee Airmen, which were all African-American pilots, not only did they never lose a bomber, and these were fighter pilots that would come up and take on the Luftwaffe, or in some cases in the Pacific, you would take on a Zero. They became these great warriors. And even though that they would die and they would perish defending these bombers, which are mostly white pilots, they're all white pilots, they never let one of those bombers go down and perish during World War II. And there's no one else that provided escorts like that could say that, right? And so that's why I think that story is so important. That's why I want my son to see that story. And then I think the other thing is that kind of sacrifice, we just don't feel it in our culture anymore. We are in a very comfortable culture. We've gotten very comfortable. And I think sometimes when you're very comfortable and you forget your history, it's really easy to do what George W. Bush did and said, you know what? He went off half-cocked with information that wasn't true. And we ended up in a 20-year war. And we ended up losing people, young men that we love and care about. And a lot of their sacrifices we don't know about because we didn't know those young men. You think about this, during World War II, we had half the population. And almost everybody was involved in the war effort, whether you're growing a victory garden in the backyard or turning your lights down at night. My grandmother O'Neill, I have an article in the paper in Chicago, and it was a story about her making machine gun magazines. That's what she did. She was a telephone operator by trade, when you still needed telephone operators. And then during the war effort, at night, she would go and she would make machine gun magazines for the war effort. So everybody was involved. And I think now, whether it be the war in Afghanistan, Iraq, even what we're seeing right now happen in the Gaza Strip, we're insulated from that. And I just want to make sure my son, as he grows up and grows older, that he understands these rich stories. And the important thing that I think that Spielberg and Tom Hanks do in these movies, and I shared this with Ron a couple weeks ago, when you look over and there's a guy named Bob, you know, flying a plane called See You Next Week, because they all had these incredible names for their planes. Or another plane, this guy loved pool, and it was called Rackham. When you see a guy named Bob in one of their films, and the number three engine goes out, because these were big prop planes that they were flying, there really was a guy named Bob flying that particular plane where that particular engine went out, and that air crew was lost forever to history. And it really gets to you when you go there and you walk through the graveyards and you see the names of all these boys and the sacrifice they made, some of them 16, 17 years old, because they lied about their age because it was so important for them to go. And Ron says we're losing the greatest generation. I think we're at the point where we've lost the greatest generation. If you talk to anybody in Normandy, France anymore, they don't see the World War II vets come through the way that they used to. And many of them now would be well above the age of 100. And even Pearl Harbor every year, you've seen that get really small as far as those that attend. So I just think for our young people, we have a lot of comfort. Understanding our history is very important. And I think there's a reason why history does repeat itself, because we don't know our history. So that's what Masters of the Air does. It made me go back and watch a couple episodes of Band of Brothers just to appreciate, because there you still have Dick Winters speaking to you during that series, because he was still alive and he could contribute. In this series, all these aviators are gone and they've passed on, but their stories are rich and important. We'll talk more on the other side of this. Hey, you guys, I got some exciting news. Now through March 2nd, they're having their Founders Day sale at Les Schwab. Who's Les Schwab? Well, you know, they sponsor this show. You know, they do a lot of great things in the community. In fact, this Thanksgiving, raise a lot of food. And during the holidays, yeah, raise a lot of toys. Thing I love about Les Schwab is he loves the community. He's been doing it. In fact, instilling their family values since 1952 in all our communities. 70 years earning your trust. Right now, the Founders Day sale. It's a thank you to all the customers out there. Get this, you can save up to $150. That's right, $150 when you buy a set of four select tires. And all you got to do when you go in is say that Ron and Don sent you. All right, for that location near you, all you need to do is go to LesSchwab.com. That's LesSchwab.com. Les Schwab, let's say it together. They've been doing the right thing since 1952.
Hey, it's Ron here for Ron and Don Real Estate. Love those guys. So listen, I was out to lunch yesterday. A friend of mine's like, hey, when everything crashes, I want to buy a house on the water up on the islands. And I looked at him and I said, Danny, the market is not crashing. He goes, okay, well, when interest rates go back down to 2%, I want to buy that cabin. I said, Danny, the market is stabilized. Interest rates have pretty much stabilized. This is the market we have. So if you've been waiting on the sidelines going, as soon as things crash, as soon as prices comes down, as soon as we get back to the old interest rates, that is not going to happen in 2024. This is the market we have. And if you are ready to make a move, whether you need to sell or whether you want to buy in the Pacific Northwest, in fact, the entire state of Washington, Don and I are your team. So whether you're doing it or your friend or family, refer us to them and let's get a game plan together. We call it a Ron and Don sit down. You can call me directly. You can email me ron@ronanddon.com, or you can go to ronanddonsitdown.com. Set up that sit down. Let's put a game plan together. This is the market we're in this year. It's stabilizing and it's going to start to heat up. So let's get a game plan together. ronanddonsitdown.com.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. Don't forget, if you need us, ronanddonsitdown.com. And we are here to elevate your real estate. And if you're thinking about buying, selling in 2024, even investing, we should talk now. We're here to elevate your real estate and elevate your lives. And there's no better way to do it, in my opinion, than considering real estate in the great specific Northwest. There's something going on here with real estate and a way to snowball and build wealth that you can't do in a lot of other parts of the country. So we're very lucky to live here. And if you're looking to onboard, we're here to help. RonandDonSitDown.com. BuzzFeed, bunch of hacks that make your life better. I'm going to read a couple, and then Ron, I'm going to ask you, because you're kind of a hack guy, if you got any good hacks for us. I love this. Someone wrote up on BuzzFeed, and again, these are hacks, small hacks that improve your life. They said, I have learned to ask for help before I'm at the brink of burnout. Childhood neglect has subconsciously, it has a lot of hooks in me. And if my parents sometimes didn't care to feed me, why would my boss care if I'm overwhelmed or my partner care if I'm sad? I only started asking for help after having children myself and after going through therapy and talking about the trauma of it, which I think is really important. Isn't that interesting? From the childhood trauma of not really being able to ask for help, that's the story then you tell yourself about yourself for the rest of your life. And then all of a sudden that carries over into your current relationships. And then you become a parent. And the unique thing about being a parent is you see things from your perspective, but your child, if you allow them to, you begin to see things from their perspective. And then you also begin to see your trauma come alive. And you can also see, I have seen at times where I am beginning to transfer that trauma to my child. And that's where you got to jump in and ask for help and put a stop to it. Cause you can see it happening. And that's some scary shit right there. It really is. And that's where therapy really helped me. Cause you have those tools, you see it, you can name it, you can talk about it. And I make sure
I've seen you do something, and also other parents now, that my parents apologize to your kid.
Yes.
And like I don't think my parents ever apologize. Not that I'm not casticizing them or anything, but it was like, that's a relatively recent thing. And it's like, I always go, wow, that's be really powerful when you're 12 or 10 years old to have your parent get down on your knee and go, hey man, I was wrong there. And I want to apologize. Cause it's like, oh, this works both ways.
And not
like, I'm not always the wrong one.
It's hard. And not put a conjunction in it. Not give them a reason why, but to just flat out tell them that you're wrong and that you apologize and you're going to make sure. Because the one thing that my mom did say is when you apologize, it's the intention that you're never going to do that again. And that's a tough intention right there. But I think there is wisdom in that. So anyway, a couple other hacks. This is so true. And here it is. This person said, I started leaving my phone in other rooms for hours at a time. If I'm in the living room, I leave it on the kitchen table. If I'm cleaning my bedroom, it's in the living room. If I'm expecting a call or something is going on, it's on volume so I can go get it. I've decreased the need to constantly be on it. It's helped me accomplish more tasks, read more at night, and just be in the moment. And the hard thing about the phone is how connected we are to it for information that we need, for our emails, for music we like to listen to. If you like to listen to a podcast, now we all have earbuds in. We are so connected to this phone. And sometimes I see the hours that I spend on it through the course of a day. And I can say, well, it's because of my business and Airbnb and stuff we do in real estate, and all that's true. But we are... I mean, all you have to do is go out to eat and just watch families sit there, and you'll see a family of four, sometimes a family of six, and everybody is on their phone. And sometimes I include myself in that. So I'm trying to do things where, because we have to be able to respond to people during the day when it comes to real estate. But if I see Ron on a thread responding, I'm like, okay, I don't have to jump in. Ron has this. And then at night, I'm trying really hard, if it's not an emergency, to not respond to people right away when they have a question. But oftentimes when people have a question in real estate, they want an answer now. And for my Airbnb stuff, the phone really does drag me around, especially when people are having an issue or a problem. But I do find, like when I go to the gym, like the other day, instead of being attached to the phone with my earbuds in, I just put the phone in the locker and I had... no earbuds, just listening to the music, talking to people, talking to my kid. I had one of the best workouts I've had in a long time. And I wondered why. And I'm like, I think it's because I disconnected from that damn phone.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I was at my first SoulCycle class, and I left the phone. And it's Taylor Swift night. You asked if I had a couple hacks. There's a couple ones that I'm trying out this year that are been interesting for me. And the first one, it kind of uses my phone. I found out that in the little reminders app on if you have an iPhone and you may or may not have ever used the reminders, it's included on your phone. You don't have to download it. It's already on any iPhone. It's the little one with the dots on the icon. Is in that it's a way for you to create reminders. And so, but what I came to learn is you can set them to repeat at different time intervals. And so what I've done is created some things that I want to work on in my life. I'll give you like two really simple ones. One just says, invite a friend to do something. And I will put the reminder in there, and then I have it remind me at random intervals. So it's like, hey, every 2.5 weeks at 3 p.m., remind me to have this reminder pop up on my home screen. And it sort of does that. So I have different reminders at different time intervals that happen throughout my week. And so I'll just be cruising along like you do. And then a message pops up on my phone and it says, invite a friend to do something. And it's like, oh yeah. Like I'm trying to work on that. And so it's actually been really helpful. Another one that I put on there that it happens a couple times a week says, I'm the type of person that doesn't skip workouts. So it's just a phrase that I want to remind myself of. Sometimes I dismiss it and I'm like, and it almost makes me mad. But other times if it catch me at the right time, I can go, yeah, that is the type of person one just popped up right now when I was reading this on my phone. It says, what are you grateful for? And so that is a reminder that comes up at random intervals. So I have like 10 or 15 of these. I set them at different times of the day, different days of the week, different frequencies. It's really easy to do on your iPhone. And it says, repeat this. So every time just repeats that message, and you can go in and change them. And it's been helpful because it will shock you out of like, hey, what am I grateful for? So that happens. The other hack that I have that's been really interesting, and it's difficult for me because, you know, I like to be a know-it-all, is to pretend that you're not an expert in something, even if you are an expert. And so you meet someone, let's say real estate. So I might meet an agent that is brand new in the business, or I might feel that I'm more equipped than they are as an agent, or that, wow, look, I'm better at writing a contract than them. And to pretend like I'm not an agent and go, hey, tell me what you know about something. And most of the time when I do that, I end up learning something. Even if let's take radio. We were in radio for decades, and it's easy to go, oh, I know the business. Meet someone and go, hey, tell me, you know, I'm gonna pretend like I'm not an expert. They call it a beginner's mind. Show up with a beginner's mind. Tell me what you know about it. And 9 times out of 10, I will leave with going, huh, I learned something, or they think about it differently than I do. And it's just valuable. Yeah. When I go in and I approach things from the expert mind, then I'm really easier to judge people. I'm more condescending. I'm more likely to cut them off. But when I try, and it's hard for me, so I have to remind myself to be, you know, have that beginner's mind, come in and be open to even someone that did something it's their first time that day. There's this new guitar player I've been following. His name is Matteo Mancuso, I believe is his name. And he grew up in Italy, and he didn't know that you're supposed to use a pick. He's in this little village outside of Palermo. So he didn't have a pick, but his dad gave him a guitar. So he started playing guitar with his fingers and no pick. And so now he's one of the best guitar players in the world. And people are like, why don't you use a pick? He's like, I didn't know I was supposed to. Like, I never realized that was a thing. So I just figured it out. Yeah. And so now he has all these techniques that he does, and people are like, it blows their mind, but he just had a beginner's mind. That's what made sense to him.
I like that.
Is not using a pick.
Yep.
And now he has a style that no one else can replicate.
All right, beginner's mind. Let's all work on that this week. See you on the other side. All right, you guys, back to those guys, Ron and Don, in just a moment. I love those guys. I also love listening to Dave Ramsey, if you've ever listened to his radio show, or Barbara Corcoran, who is on Shark Tank. Both of them heavily invested, millions of dollars, heavily invested in real estate. And they say the reason why they're heavily invested, even over leveraged in real estate, is it's because, well, because of the way that real estate has performed for them over the last 10, 20, 30 years. What they are saying right now to single family home buyers, go out and buy a home right now. You're not going to find a better time than right now because there's a lot of people out there that are waiting for rates to come down. That means there's people standing on the sidelines, and Mitch is here from Mitch.Loans. That gives buyers right now an opportunity that they're not going to have when rates come down a little bit. And buyers, Mitch, flood back into the market, right?
That's right. Anytime there's people on the sidelines waiting, that means great things for the future, right? If we see rates drop even a little bit, the number of extra pre-approvals we have in our system, the number of extra buyers we have in our system grows exponentially. And that's going to mean what? It's going to mean home prices jump. And they're going to jump up. And if you buy now, you'll get to be a part of that.
So let's say they pick up the phone. Someone calls you, Mitch.Loans, and they buy a home and they're not happy with the rate. But all of a sudden, a year from now or 2 years from now or even 2.5 years from now, rates come down. What do? They pick up the phone and call you again.
Yeah, they call us again. We refinance into a whole new loan. It comes with just very minor closing costs. And if they're with us, we'll waive them for you. So it's really just a no-brainer. Buy now and refi into a lower rate, and you'll get that same house for the same price, but with a lower payment.
Yeah, it's good enough for Dave Ramsey, who I really trust, or Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank. Hey, that's good enough for me. All you have to do right now is go to Mitch.Loans.com. And to find that house, come find us. Go to RonandDonSitDown.com, and we will see you in about 30 seconds. Oh, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. I think it's kind of interesting as we head into another election cycle. I have to say, for as much as there's so much going on both sides of the aisle, so much going on. And we know so much more because we just got done talking on our phones and our tablets. And sometimes we're informed. Sometimes I think we're over-informed. Sometimes the stuff we're reading is not good information. So then maybe we're not informed at all. But I just got done reading this article and it asked this question, how come Americans stop hanging out? And it went back really to this culture that was created in our country. In fact, when people got dropped off by the Nino the Pinta and the Santa Maria, the deal was at some point after the colonies reformed, hey, we're going to go west. So it was this push to go west. And in order to go west, you kind of needed each other for information, sometimes for help, for safety's sake, for food, for water, for a lot. It was something, you get in these wagon trains and you have to do it together. Now that people have gone west, there's really, and we've talked about this before, what is the new west? And for some people, the new west is Scottsdale, or for some people, the new west is Montana or Idaho or some of those places. But I think what's kind of interesting, and I think for men, and we really have to pay attention to this, is we get older. I think sometimes we've gotten so self-sufficient that we do stop hanging out. And the things that made us hang out when we were younger, like for a lot of us that grew up playing tackle football, you're on a team every day. You're with a group of guys. You talk to any guy that's 50, 60 years old that played tackle football when he was younger, and he can tell you about his career and about his playing abilities and who his coaches were, and because it has great influence on you when you're part of a team. And it seems like as we get older, and even Ron, you were just talking about, hey, I'm going to make sure that I ask somebody to go do something. Because as we get older, it seems like those connections begin to fall away. And men over the age of 50 are some of the loneliest people in the world. They really are. And then let's say that you go through a divorce, or let's say that you've gone through sickness, or your kids have left and you're now an empty nester, or even being an empty nester alone. And it seems like women have done a better job of building a social fabric, of staying curious, of staying connected. And they say one of the biggest things that have kind of fallen by the wayside is the fact that a lot of us were involved in churches, we were involved in houses of worship, we were involved in the Rotary Club. I'm still not sure what the Elks Club does. But there's an Elks Club down the street here that just burned, and then they just redid it, and it's beautiful. I know you go to the Swedish Pancake Lodge.
I go to I live near the Swedish Club.
Yeah,
a lot of Swedes.
So anyway, and my grandparents through the Catholic Church, they were involved, very involved in the church, very involved in a lot of social clubs.
Brings up, you used to have bowling leagues all the time.
Yeah,
softball league, like all of those things have gone to the wayside pretty much as well.
Yeah. So anyway. It talks about the fact that maybe if we all hung out together a little bit more and we stopped reading things online, which I know that I do and I think we all do, this information that's coming at us all the time. There are TVs and phones and screens and computers and that maybe we would figure out we're a lot closer than we think. What say you about hanging out? Because I think I really try to make sure that I have events over here at my house that involve my guy friends and my bigger group of friends, and sometimes my guy friends with their wives and all that. I really try to make sure that I do that. Number one, because I really enjoy it and I like hosting people. But I want my son to be around it, and I want him to feel that loving and camaraderie.
Yeah, you do a good
well.
Job at that. I need to do a better job at it as well. It's just harder as an adult. Like when you're a younger person, and I guess you have more disposable time, so to speak, you would hang out more. Your friend would, and you didn't have to. It's really weird now, and I do it as well, where you don't drop by. At all. Like, I think both of us growing up, you could drop by your friend's house. You didn't need to call them first. Like, if you wanted to go to see your friend, you would go over there and knock on the door. And you and I just did some in a neighborhood, handing out some invitations for this house we had in Edmonds. And I knocked on some doors. You would have thought I was like a NATO force invading this person's house for some people, because they were very suspicious of, like, why would someone? I had one lady, I could see her on the couch through the window, and I knocked on the door, I was going to invite her to our open house. She's like completely panicked and like went to hide, and it was like, okay, like, I know that you're home because your car's out front and I can literally see you. It's just a weird, like, that has disappeared from our culture. I don't know if it's ever coming back, but you know, you kind of miss those times when your friend could just stop by.
Yeah. It was interesting, 'cause we did go door to door and we had invitations and we put together just kind of a fry. 'Cause usually when there's an open house in the neighborhood, and this couple had been in this neighborhood over 40 years and people knew them, they're still very nosy. There's the nosy neighbors of real estate, and they really want to get in your house. They want to crawl into your closet. They want to see what's going on in there. And then they want to see what the value is and what it sells for, because chances are that's the value of their house across the street too, especially if they live in a neighborhood where you have homes that were built by the same contractors, or they were built, and a lot of these homes were built 78 to 82. By three different contractors, but a lot of similarities. So the first people through the door are always the nosy neighbors. So our thing is, let's just invite the nosy neighbors, right? Let's mail them. Let's go door to door. Let's invite them to come. I had one woman come out of her house, and she's like, what are you doing here? And I said, well, my name's Don, and I just stopped by to invite you to a neighborhood gathering. We're going to have a neighborhood gathering on Friday night. Well, what for? And then I told her the names of our clients and that they're moving away, and that I believe that they've been in the neighborhood 42 years. And she said, well, I've been in the neighborhood for 45 years. And I went, then you guys should know each other, because this is over 90 years
of combined living
in this neighborhood. So you should definitely come by and meet them. And I said, really, all I want to do is I was looking for something in common. I just want to say, hey, I really love the fact that you have your American flag flying. I said, I fly my American flag a lot, even when it's not the 4th of July. And so I saw you, it's not the 4th of July, and you were flying your flag, which I think was pretty awesome. So then her and I ended up having a 10-minute connection and conversation over the American flag. But initially, when I had walked into her yard, she was offended, and yet she was one of the first ones to come in the house and check it out on Friday night. So I think that's true. I think when it comes to hanging out, us being together, even if we think differently, we'll see that we have more in common, especially as we go into this political cycle, then maybe it won't be so brutal. And what I've learned, the best thing that you can do on social media is you can stop following someone for 30 days. And when someone starts posting a bunch of stuff that starts getting me riled, instead of just blocking them, I just unfollow them for 30 days. And then if they keep doing it, then I block them. So... Hey, you guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show on a Thursday. Don't forget Friday's show. We're going to be talking about our home of the week that we just sold in 42 hours up in Edmonds, Washington. And so make sure you tune in for that, because we got a lot of cool things that we want to share about that. If you need us as far as realtors go, just reach out. RonandDonSitDown.com. We do something online where we virtually sit down with you. We talk about your real estate journey, and then we try to find a path. We try to find a viable path. And sometimes as a buyer, seller, investor, or sometimes you know what you need to do is you need to keep your powder dry, not do anything. Maybe fix your credit score or save up some money, whatever that is. And we can help with those things too. So, okay. RonandDonSitDown.com. Everything is at RonandDon.com. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Thanks for telling people about it. Almost 700 episodes now, over 2 million downloads. It means so much to us. We really appreciate that, for you allowing us to come into your homes and your cars and your gymnasiums and be your friends and be your broadcasters. And be your realtors too. So thanks for that. Thanks for giving us a 5-star review. Thanks for hitting subscribe. That means a lot to us, subscribing to this podcast. And don't forget, 4 episodes every week, 3 really just about what's happening in the news, and then an episode on real estate. So head up, shoulders back. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show on the Ron and Don Radio.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.